Zamaria Thompson. Happy Fit Zam. Welcome to Curio City. Cheers.
So far, cheers.
Cheers.
Hey, curious cuties. Welcome to Curio City. I'm your host, Lauren Deliri, and today's guest is Zamaria Thompson. She's a certified holistic health coach, social media manager, and content creator. With almost 10 years of experience working in social media, Zamaria's specialty is helping brands grow their online presence by creating strategies and viral content that sells. She also brings a mind, body, and spirit approach to all she does, including dating. Zamaria's mission is to help every human in the world realize how fucking powerful they are and live their best, most authentic, magical life. She's obsessed with manifestation, quantum physics, money mindset, spicy food, tea, and nervous system regulation. She truly does it all. Please help me welcome Zamaria Thompson.
Okay, you guys, we're gonna get into a lot of who Zamaria is. I obviously know so many personal things about her, but there are actually some things that I'm curious about like your like career side, your goals, and how you kind of implement everything all together. That's a lot of our guests are multi-talented people. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like I'm seeing a theme in this season of the podcast that. Most of the guests, what they do is multiple things and they're interested in multiple things and seeing how it all ties together, you know, because we are all our own niche. But anyway, so I'm very excited to get into the questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready, baby.
Okay. Very first question. How do you incorporate a mind and body and spirit approach into your social media strategies for brands?
Ooh, that's a great question. I mean, it really depends on what the goal of the brand is as far as like what audience are they speaking to, first of all, right? Like if it's a luxury brand or they have a really high product price, obviously you're not going to be speaking to Gen Zers or like people that can't afford something that might be $60 per container or whatever. So always taking into account the
demographic,
economical demographic of the audience.
Right.
I think something that people don't think about a lot is social economic status, or like you really have to picture your ideal audience in your brain and then, okay, what type of things are they going to be searching for? What type of things are they going to resonate with? But also pulling in the emotion, like human emotion elements of it. I've always been super fascinated with human psychology. And I think being super into astrology or holistic health and practicing those things myself too, I think is, and also just interacting with multifaceted people, like you said, allows me to like take mental notes. Like oftentimes when I'm out and about just hanging out with people, or like at the hair salon or wherever, I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay, that's what they're like. I take note of that because I'm like, oh,
you're studying the human experience.
Yes. So other than just scrolling on social media, which I honestly don't do very much as a social media manager or marketing person, I feel like people often neglect real life data and interaction. Because that is like mind body connection. Like, what are people out like doing out actually in the real world? Yeah. Or even going to like influencer events or meeting influencers or celebrities or people in the media out and about in LA. Like, where are they going out to eat? Where are they shopping? Why do they shop there? Why are they called to these places?
Yeah.
How can I kind of integrate that into a social media plan and strategy? I just turned in a social media strategy plan for one of my clients, and you know, sometimes they'll provide like talking points or information that they want me to sprinkle in throughout.
Yeah.
But then I really have to disseminate that in a way that is going to be intentional and like really speak to the product and the brand voice, but also make people feel inspired or make them feel something. It's all about making people feel something.
Right.
You know, and like whenever you see a brand or follow a brand, you probably follow them because they make you feel something. And then you don't really make a purchase until, I don't know, they say it takes like 5 to 10 times before that you actually sense. Are like, okay, I think I'm going to buy it. Them. Yeah. You know,
yeah. there's it so much that goes a into lot. It. Yeah. It's body, spirit, and mind. Like that's many things to take into account when it comes to like another person's brand. Right.
For
and you have to think about not your personal brand and your identity, but you have to think an entire different like demographic, you know, for the different brands that you work for. And they're not all going to be the same.
No.
And you have to get into the minds of those people.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting to know like the founders and their stories is also super important because, But I mean, one thing about me is that I, and you know this, like I physically can't do or work for somebody that I don't believe in.
Yeah.
Or it like doesn't resonate. So I'm very lucky that I mostly work with people that are in the health and wellness, mindfulness space because that just comes easy to me. It's like, I'm just grateful that I get to communicate a piece of me into them, you know?
I was going to say, I mean, you say you're lucky, but also that's like who you choose to work with too, you know?
Yeah.
And that makes sense. And I, and obviously if anyone like who follows you, like you share accounts and products that you do work for or work with
and believe in.
And believe in. And it's very obvious that like, it's something you are like, you can stand behind because you're putting your own, like sometimes your own face in front of it, you know, or alongside it.
Yeah.
And so you have to fully be on board for whatever it is their message is. So I think that's important for people who are like taking on clients. I think that's a good, like a good point. You need to pretty much be at least and at some point in line with their values.
Yeah. I would never work with or promote a honestly, this is a whole other business idea that I've had is to like kind of expose the supplement industry in a way
or do
like,
it, baby.
Just talk about the real shit that goes on behind the scenes of like the marketing and all of that, because it is a $1 trillion industry for a reason. Yeah. Like it's so crazy. And I mean, I know a lot of people are aware of like, you know, influencers and all the shit that they have to say and all this stuff and like how much money they make. I mean, I'm part of it too, but like, I think that is something to take into account. And I mean, I feel like we've gotten better at being able to tell when people are being honest or not or like authentic.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, you can tell that that girl is just like being very adsy and salesy and doesn't really use a product.
Yeah.
But no, hell no. I don't, I would never promote something or work for somebody that I didn't actually believe in because that would just, it's going to come out eventually. And
It would rob you of your soul.
Well, people also eventually it makes you lose your brand and credibility, you know? So it's like, it just gives you an icky feeling when you come around a profile or an influencer's profile and you're like,
I feel like there's no heart behind
what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
You're
it's
like,
cringe.
Oh God. Okay. She's doing another ad again.
Yeah.
Like, it just seems like that's all they, and listen, I respect the hustle. Like that is their full-time thing.
Right.
A lot of the time they're feeding their families. I respect it, girl. You do you, but
yeah, it's better when it's just like people have a better, marketing plan with how often they do those sort of things.
Yeah,
I feel like they need somebody to help them.
For sure.
Not seem so spammy.
Yes.
Because some people do seem quite spammy.
Exactly. Definitely. It's bad.
Okay. Well, as a certified health coach, how do you intertwine the concepts of manifestation and quantum physics into your coaching?
I mean, it's like the core of what I do. I feel like quantum physics. I mean, you know, we go into tangents and all of that all the time, the energy field. I'm really lucky that growing up, my mom, I grew up Catholic, as you know, but my mom and a lot of Mexican Hispanic Catholics, I feel like are super spiritual and woo-woo. At least my mom was, you know, they believe in a lot of saints and things like that. Mm-hmm. My mom was super into astrology growing up. So I'm really grateful that she kind of gave me the freedom to explore that at a very young age. And I feel like I've always kind of had that intuitive psychic ability. I'm a Pisces.
Yeah.
So naturally I'm very...
Head in the clouds.
In the clouds.
Yeah.
Yeah. And delusional, which has served me well because I feel like I've always just had this delusional idea of like, if I can see it in my brain, it can be real in my physical reality.
Totally.
And it's worked out for me so far.
Yeah.
And I've had people my entire life tell me like, oh, I don't know how you do it, or like how you are able to manifest so easily, blah, 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 or like move through life just like la, la, la. And I'm like, you can do it too.
Yeah.
And so what kind of led me to wanting to be a health coach and get into all of this, I mean, it was kind of part of my journey, I think, but is to help people realize that I'm not special for that. Like, mm-hmm. we can all tap into it, and everybody has their own way of getting there. But, and it can depend on person to person, obviously. And, like, I don't always go straight into quantum physics when I'm talking to people, you know, because yeah. then they're like, whoa, what
are you talking about? Deer in headlights.
Yeah. So it can totally depend on the language that I use with people,
yeah,
you know, sure. to make them feel comfortable and heard.
Yeah.
Usually maybe kind of like a shrink in a way. My approach is like, I ask a lot of questions and mm-hmm. kind of try to get them to come to without me telling them.
Yeah. I love that.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a great
Rather
approach.
Than like, most people just want to be heard.
Yeah.
And then feel like they came to that conclusion, not me. I mean, kind of like therapy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you talk a lot about manifestation too. It's not yeah. just like, I mean, quantum physics is like one thing and it yeah. goes along with all of it. But like, I feel like manifestation, it might be a little bit easier for people to digest. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you can't, just the person that you are, like you can't really help but talk about manifesting when it comes to like people's like physical or mental well-being. Like it's a huge part of how you communicate, I feel like.
Hey cuties, I recently started my journey with Peace Love Hormones, and let me tell you, it's been a game changer. These herbal tinctures are crafted with the finest organic ingredients and have been used for centuries to support women's health. From digestive health to hormone balance, they've got it all covered. There are three to choose from: Soothe, Bitters, and Sleepy. Personally, I'm taking Soothe, which is designed to help regulate women's hormones and cycles. I've taken it every morning right away and have already felt and seen the positive impact because my hormonal acne I was getting on my chin has disappeared. It's also like a holistic hug for your entire system. The owner is actually a friend of mine. Her name is Maddie Miles, and you may remember her from an episode talking all things herbs and hormones, and I can personally vouch for her unwavering quality standards. But don't just take my word for it. Her website is chocked full of lengthy testimonials raving about their incredible experiences with Peace Love Hormones. And I've got a code for you. You can simply click the link in the description or use code CurioCity for 10% off. That's CurioCity for 10% off. Peace Love Hormones.
Yeah, like if you're constantly worried about your health, or you're constantly worried about, oh my gosh, I can't afford that, or like, well, I can't buy that because I'm poor, or like, well, that's just how things are, like, you are damning yourself. Like, yeah. you are making yourself the victim. Stop saying that. Change your language. I like something small, and a small example that I always tell my clients or just friends, people, I'm like, start changing your language,
yeah.
even with yourself. Like right. sometimes when I start to feel really anxious or overwhelmed or any type of negative emotion, I don't even like to say negative because it's just an emotion. Just don't identify with it. I'll be like, I just feel a little silly right now. I just feel a little weird, you know, because even saying that instead of like, I'm anxious or I'm angry, like yeah. whatever. I mean, they're just words if you think about it.
Yeah.
And I think separating yourself has been really helpful for my clients and people that I've talked to. They're like, oh, that's such an easy little tool to use.
Just yeah.
not identifying with the words, and rather than being like, I'm angry or I'm mad, you can just be like, I just feel a little weird
yeah.
today.
And I think know? Also like not over identifying, using the language of I am anxious, but even if you do, because sometimes like saying what it is actually helpful and then you're able to kind of move on. But I feel like instead of saying I am anxious, being like, I feel mm-hmm. like anxious thoughts, like,
yes.
or I'm like having anxious thoughts or whatever, instead of identifying with I am anxious or
yes.
I am angry or I am sad, whatever. It's like, I'm feeling sadness. I'm feeling
yeah,
this, whatever come through. But you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because when you like say that, it's like, whatever
yourself.
We say, is true. Like you were mentioning, like we're kind of chanting over ourselves when we're saying I am blank, you know, whatever that is.
You're claiming it and therefore you are manifesting it into your reality.
Yeah.
Because whatever you think you feel and you do, like you're, it all starts with your thoughts.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people find manifestation or the law of attraction, like it kind of goes over their head, or they think it's like woo woo spiritual new age. And it's like, no, it's not.
But it's backed by science.
Actually, even Jesus in the Bible and like a lot of religious texts like hint at manifesting and how powerful you are. They just use different words, phrases, whatever. Like I recently was listening to a podcast or something that, it was from a person that believes in God and Jesus, which I do actually. And they were saying, they like mentioned multiple Bible verses, which honestly, I'm not even that well versed in the Bible, but they mentioned Bible verses and they were like, Jesus was literally saying like, you are powerful.
Yes.
You manifest your reality.
Yeah.
And so I love throwing that out there to Christian people. I'm like, this isn't new age shit. Like Jesus talks about manifesting too.
This is like over 2000 years ago. Kind
it
of
is
stuff.
Your birthright.
Yeah.
To have whatever the fuck you want in life.
Yeah.
Jesus wants you to have it. Like,
I love that.
Stop damning yourself. You know,
what a clip. I love that. I love that so much. Okay. Well, yeah, that all makes sense. And it's just all part of like who you are. And it's very, it comes across very honest because you implement that all into your own life. It's not something that you preach and don't. It's not like you are just talking the talk. You're also walking the walk.
Yeah. And I think it's also, I mean, and I think I used to be a little bit more preachy in my approach when I was younger and less aware.
We all have been.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like even when we were both vegan, so we have that in common. But anyway, the older I've gotten, the more I realize like, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, who am I to judge somebody else's process? Like,
right.
You do you. As long as you are following something that feels aligned and feels good to you, keep doing that.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's different or I disagree with it, that doesn't make me or you better. Like,
right.
We're just humans on this rock doing our best, you know? Like,
agreed.
Do your thing.
Agreed.
Don't judge.
Okay, let's talk about your the intersection of spirituality with your heritage. Your being Native and Mexican and European. Like, how does that, do you find like that intersection you're talking about being Catholic, right? So how did that affect you like growing up and how has it shaped your perspective?
I mean, growing up, it was kind of fucked up and a lot. I don't know. I feel like I was kind of the unicorn in my family for being the like happy go lucky one and kind of having a very tunnel vision, but like clouded perspective of the world around me. I always saw it with like rose colored
glasses.
Yeah. But through talking to my siblings and just like learning more and more, I feel like growing up in a family that was, I mean, we would go to church and stuff, but like my family cusses like sailors. I mean, we're Mexicans. So like, if y'all know, Mexican Catholics are very just like, they'll go to mass on Sunday, but after that, they're still going to have their beers. They're still going to be like cheating on their wives, doing things.
There's
a
lot of family secrets.
Right. Exactly. So that, I feel like that's where I kind of started to ask myself questions as far as like, okay, But I mean, my family wasn't always, like my parents were amazing. They did the best that they could. I truly believe that they're both incredible people, but I think I started to ask myself questions when I was like, okay, we go to church and do all these things, but there's still so many things that we're not allowed to talk about or say, like secrets, like you said.
Yeah.
And I mean, luckily my mom was always super honest with us anytime we did have questions, like if we were to ask her things. So my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was like in middle school, I believe. Which is it's in your brain. Yeah. And it's like, once you have it, there's no cure or whatever. But so she went to like 5 different doctors. They all told her she had like a few months to live. She was going to have surgery, all this stuff. Because they caught it like late, I think. I don't remember really. And plus, it like the details are blurry. But anyway, my mom ended up finding one of my cousins knew somebody that practiced Santeria, which Santeria, a lot of Catholics in Cuba, I believe. Don't fact check me, but Cuban. She ended up going to Cuba. The reason why I know this is she ended up going to Cuba. They did like some animal sacrifice with my mom in the ocean. And after that, she was cured, literally gone. Like the illness was gone.
So wild.
So she has always had a lot of respect for the spiritual realm. And where my mom grew up in Mexico, a really small town out of Durango, Mexico. And it was very spiritual place. Lots of like witchy things go on there, you know, naturally, like. Indigenous people, indigenous cultures just have a lot of like spiritual aspects to them.
Right.
Witchy stories my grandparents would tell us. Growing up in like the Bible Belt South around Baptist conservative people was like a culture shock because that is a different type of conservative.
Yeah.
You know, than like definitely. Catholic. Because Catholics, at least my mom growing up was never like, she never sheltered us. We were never like censored. TV, we could listen to whatever. Like, I mean, probably a lot of that was because she didn't speak English, so
she was kind of really like know. Whatever.
Yeah. She didn't really know. But a lot of, I feel like, my shame and I don't know, deconstructing that I had to do what came from my peers growing up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense. Yeah, totally. It like, wasn't like within the family system.
No, right.
It was within the culture that you were around
my environment.
Externally. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
That makes sense.
Which is so crazy because even like dating and being single for the past 3.5 years and being in the dating world, I've realized how much sexual shame I've picked up on. Mm-hmm. And programming around that and like female and just like my feminine energy that I picked up on subconsciously from like my teachers or my friend's parents.
And that's growing up in the Bible Belt. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That my mom had nothing to do with because my mom was always like, if you're having sex, just tell me. Like,
yeah.
Just be safe. Like whatever. She was always just like way too open about that stuff, which honestly now I appreciate.
Of course.
But it's so crazy to me that, I mean, a lot of those people now like have always thought I was crazy and weird just for being kind of a mix of like spiritual, but also believing in God. I mean, I feel like even you have been like, oh, you use the word God sometimes.
Yeah.
But that to me is like maybe because of my upbringing, you know, that my mom was like kind of both.
Well, God was never used against you.
True. Right. Right. That part. Like I never... Yeah, it was never a thing.
Yeah.
Like it was never shoved down my throat.
Yeah.
My mom was always just like, as long as you believe in God, like that's cool.
Yeah.
We'd go to church sometimes. Sometimes we wouldn't.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely a lot more cultural than like a forced belief system.
And to be honest with you, I see religion in a unique way than most, I think, because I see it as... I think you can see it as a beautiful thing and a beautiful part of history.
Yeah.
At least that's how I choose to see it. Like, yeah,
of course.
Catholicism has so many beautiful traditions and prayers. And maybe that's because I also associate it with like my grandparents and going to like mass in Mexico.
Again, it's cultural. Yeah. Like it's within your family. It's ancestral. Yeah. Like it makes sense.
Yeah. So a lot of those feelings that I have about religion, I'm like, oh, it's just a beautiful part of history, even though it has some fucked up shit in it.
Yeah.
Like when I talk, like if my brother was here, my little brother was here, he'd have a whole, he's like atheist, doesn't, because my parents made him be a little,
like a little,
you know, those little kids that sit next to the, what's it called? Mascot, the
priest?
The priest.
Yeah.
My little brother did that and he experienced some weird things.
Yeah.
Weird things.
Yeah. Little boys in the Catholic Church.
So it's like also been fascinating. I encourage so many people to like talk to their siblings and families about.
Oh yeah. Everybody's got a very different experience.
About their experiences growing up, because that has been huge for me and my siblings. Like when we talk about things, we process together, but how each of us processed it differently.
Yeah.
Is mind blowing.
Like some things went over your head that yes. like didn't go over there, and like vice versa. Yes. Like some things you saw that they didn't. Like yes. yeah.
Like even learning how much my siblings really resented me for being like the golden child and being like the one that never got in trouble. And I was like, what? You guys resented me?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, everybody loved you. And I was like, ugh. Well, my bad.
You're like, sorry.
But yeah, so anyway, it's I'm really grateful for my religious upbringing, honestly. Yeah. How open-minded my parents were, and now I feel like I've been able to kind of reparent and teach my parents a lot of spiritual quantum physics.
Yeah, more you've like been able to shit. Incorporate yeah. a lot of what you've learned.
Yes.
And like tell them a lot.
And like now my mom and I do like full moon rituals.
Oh, I love that.
Intention setting. She loves crystals too. She always
so
has.
Great.
So it's cool that she's not like, oh, what are you doing? I think like a year ago she was like, you don't go to church anymore. Do you still believe in God? And I was like, of course. I just experience God way more when I'm out in nature.
Yeah.
Near the ocean. I mean, I still go to mass with my parents sometimes, yeah. but she doesn't really feel the need for me to go. She's very understanding of like, okay, yeah, like you definitely. And I think she sees it in me too. She's yeah. like, you
still have, there's a light in you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think when parents are able to see that like you're happy and you're healthy and you're like doing well, that is the goal, right? Is for yeah. the parents like to be able to recognize that and put whatever their agenda is to the side, because if they see that you're doing well, like that should be the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and I'm really grateful that my mom and dad have really taught me unconditional love.
Yeah.
I feel like that's huge. And whenever you realize that like your kids aren't your kids, they just came
through you
to this world through you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she really does, my parents both really give us the freedom to kind of like be who we are.
Love that.
In this world. So they're amazing.
Love that.
Yeah.
I need to spend some time with
them. Yeah, they're awesome.
That'd be so fun. I know. So weird.
So weird.
Okay. Well, let's hop back a little bit to your social media world.
Okay.
I mean, I know it goes like hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like everything about you. That's what I was saying. Like everything about you is intertwined. So it's not like any of this is jumping really.
No.
It's all connected.
Honestly, I'm so glad you have questions, because otherwise I feel like we could just go on so many
just
tangents.
One. Yeah, I know. Exactly. This is why like I prepare ahead of time. I'm like, how do I ask one of my very best friends like things about her when I know so much, but like what will the listeners be very fascinated in? So anyway, so we'll go back to the social media stuff. So obviously you've been doing almost a decade, right?
Yeah.
You have a lot of experience in social media. What advice do you have for people trying to build their online presence authentically? Mm. I know we talked about doing things for other brands, but now let's like kind of go into more of like an individual based perspective.
Yeah. So first thing that I always tell people is focus on value. Like how can you add value to your audience?
Yeah.
Stop looking at what everybody else is doing, what everybody else is talking about. What do your friends ask you about most often?
Right.
What makes you unique, and what special talents, what special qualities do you have? How can you turn that into value to your audience? And also, I think people spend way too much time talking to everybody instead of focusing on one set of people or one group of people. And I mean, I know people are like, niche down. I don't know. My opinion on niching down is kind of like, yes and no. I think you should have, my rule of thumb is always to have at least three main categories that you discuss. Like, for example, mine are health and wellness. Mm-hmm. I would say spirituality, and probably either relationships or probably like relationship building type of stuff. If you follow me on TikTok, I talk a lot about dating, stuff like that. So I kind of try to base my content around those three pillars. So maybe, and I think that can be really helpful for people. Like, think of three topics that you really enjoy talking about and try to create content around those things. Even if you make a day in the life video, for example. I feel like people spend way too much time making it selfish. Nobody cares about your day to day. Like, nobody cares. I'm sorry. They just don't. Like, it's think about the things you
want to see themselves in it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. People want to feel like they're a part of it. Like they're living it through your point of view. But also, like, if you are doing a day to day, like, why do you drink that matcha every morning? Tell me. Like, I want to know. Look at, like, analyze the accounts you follow and why you like to follow them. It's because they're adding value to you in some way, shape, or form. They're making you feel something.
Right.
So I feel like people miss that part and try to do way too much or try to, like, do way too many. And it's okay, too, to, like, mess around and see what type of content you enjoy creating. And you can also go through seasons. Like, I went through a season where I was doing a lot of recipes. And then I went through a season where I was not doing a lot of recipes. I don't know. It just depends. Like, you're a natural evolving human being and you will change who you are. Like, your social media is going to change with you and evolve, and that's fine. But focusing always on adding value, I think, is huge.
I agree.
And trying to think of those three things or three to four things that you're going to try to focus on is huge. Like, okay, what do my friends always ask me about? What do I know? What am I naturally really good at? And then creating content around there. And then that can go into so many different ways. Like, I love many different categories, subcategories. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the way you create or communicate those messages. So you said, like, the three, like, say you have three topics, right? Mm-hmm. Or three main things that you talk about. Well, then there's, like, a million ways to, like, show up online, whether it's, like, a voiceover, whether it's you talking to the camera, whether it's, like, a lip sync thing, and then there's stuff in the caption or, like, or a photo, like, carousel. Like, there's so many ways to show up. Do you feel like that people should also choose three ways to show up? Two ways, one way? Like, does that also kind of, is there a way you suggest people go about that as well?
I would say show up in whatever feels fun and good to you, you know, like, I don't think there's any harm in experimenting with all types of content. Don't be afraid to experiment with all types of content. Definitely, like, do voiceovers, do, carousels, photos. People are going to resonate with who you really are. And like I said earlier, you can tell when people are being inauthentic, and that's going to come across in your content. I feel like I even follow accounts that are not super aesthetic or, like, super edited. They're just raw and real. And I like following those people because you can just tell that they're being themselves. You know what I'm saying?
No, totally.
But yeah, no, I say go for it. Like, experiment with all types of content. I think just having the focus of adding value first and foremost, and entertainment. Like, if you're funny, that's one thing. Like, our best friend Kelsey is fucking hilarious. She's one of the funniest people that I know. And I always tell her, I'm like, you need to add your humor to your content because that is going to be what sets you apart from everybody else.
Yeah.
Like, your humor, not your style, not whatever, which, you know, so it's like, don't be afraid to show your weird side. Don't be afraid to show those quirks that you might be, like, scared to show. I feel like whenever I started to show more of my goofy side and more of, like I have a
Scary.
I mean, hell yeah, it still is, to be honest. Mm-hmm. It doesn't ever go away. But honestly, it builds your confidence.
Yeah.
Like, I have a really perverted sense of humor, as you know. Like, sometimes I just, like, say spicy shit or, like, weird things that my friends are like, oh my God. And I'm like, that's just me. And yes, sometimes I'm like, oh, should I have said that? Like, oh my God, so-and-so's mom is going to watch my story and see it. But then I'm like,
whatever.
Who cares?
You've definitely grown in that, because I feel like when we first became friends, you were a lot more, like, shy online, like, with showing that sort of side of you.
Which, like, people like friendships like you were able to help me be like, oh, I wish you would show more of, like, silly Zam online and, like, more of your just unfiltered self. And when I started to do that is when I started to grow, which is crazy. Like, literally, when you start to just be your authentic self, you will naturally attract the people that are your people, and then the people that aren't will fall away. And I know you've experienced that with like your rebrand and stuff too.
Yeah.
And it's so nice to just like,
well, you just feel like yourself. Yeah. People are just like naturally coming in because of just who you are. Yeah. That's really nice. Okay. So given your passion for the nervous system, you talk about that a lot, nervous system regulation. How do you bring this into your daily life? And then how can others benefit from it?
Oh, man. Yeah. Nervous system regulation is so huge. Even when it comes to everything in your life, your job, your relationships, the way you interact with everything, the goal is to become less reactive to the world around you. Because whenever you give situations or people or circumstances power over your emotions, like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, don't
just, you're giving away your power in that.
Don't hand over your power to external things. You always
hold the power. How do you do that?
Power. I mean, one easy way to do it is like, anytime you feel somebody trigger you or something trigger you, whether it's somebody in traffic or somebody says something that makes you shifts your energy, you feel a shift in your energy, become aware of it. First of all, I feel like just becoming aware that like they said something that triggered me or made me feel something, or like that person in traffic made me feel something, and just acknowledge it. And then just take a deep breath and try to like, a lot of the time it helps me personally to like touch my chest or like my belly. I feel like just grounding
centering
myself.
Yourself,
yes.
Yeah.
Like physically helps me a lot. And then just taking a deep breath, that always immediately just separates you from going into that like spiral of like thoughts or whatever. And if you do go down that spiral, sometimes just letting yourself kind of have the spiral or whatever, or have that reaction. But the more you practice it, the easier it is to snap back, you know? Of like, okay, or for example, now is a holiday season, and I know it can be really triggering for a lot of people to be around family members and, you know, being around a lot of different energies or opinions, or, you know, your parents might say something that triggers you. Don't react. Just don't be reactive. A lot of the time I'll even go to the bathroom and just like take a few deep breaths on the toilet.
Love the bathroom.
You know?
At family like, functions. I'm always like, when I was a little kid, I used to go sit in the sink, the tiny little sink in my family's house, and just taking a moment.
Do whatever you need to do to separate yourself and just like recenter and do like a little check-in and just take a few deep breaths. And just remember that everybody is always projecting. Like, most of how everybody treats you or, things people say have absolutely nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. Even if it is directed to you, like, that is just their perspective of you.
Yeah.
So something that I've also done is, like, when people tell me, give me feedback on my character or something that I did or said, I like validate it. I don't think that they're wrong. Like, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, I take inventory of their experience of me versus just immediately taking it on as like my identity. Does that make sense? Like, if you're like, oh, Zamaria is so funny and she's silly and, you know, sometimes she can be a little whatever. It's like, okay, that's how she sees me. Like, I think there's somebody out there that also thinks I'm, you know, terrible and whatever. Like, people have probably used a negative adjective to describe me before, and they're probably right, you know? Like, I probably was a bitch to somebody. I probably was mean, but that doesn't mean I have to, like, subscribe to that. But back to, like, the nervous system regulation stuff, I mean, taking your mornings and your nights, like the beginning of your day and the end of your day, I feel like are huge, because whenever you start your day from a place of centeredness and feeling safe within your body is huge.
Yes.
You know, like
totally.
Even in dating, I feel like something that I talk about a lot in my dating content, or like anytime I coach people on dating and they're struggling with getting ghosted or like feeling powerless and feeling that obsessive love towards somebody is because they are depending on somebody else to make them feel regulated and feel safe. But whenever you feel regulated and safe within your own body and your existence, you no longer need that person. And therefore, you can just experience that relationship because you don't need that relationship. It's not like a needy, clingy thing.
Yeah.
And the other person feels that, you know, like I can speak from experience when I've been like super obsessed over some mediocre man. And I'm like, why don't they love me back? Love me. Then it's like, as soon as you let go, as soon as you just are like, whatever, that's when they come running back. We all know it. As soon as you're like out having fun with your friends, they text you, they call you. That's because you took your power back.
Yeah.
You know, and energetically, I think that's huge. But yeah, becoming, creating safety within your own body, whether it be also nourishing yourself, being authentic to yourself, speaking your truth, all of those things tie into nervous system regulation. And even when it comes to like, if you struggle with overeating or anything like that, moving your body, shaking it out, laughing, dancing, all of that. I mean, the body keeps the score. And if you don't move that energy through you, it's going to get stuck.
Yeah.
And you're just going to feel all like uneasy all the time.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Yeah, it really does translate. Like it the feelings that you have, like I have felt it literally in my body. Like certain places, like I'm holding tension or whatever from like emotional stresses, like those parts of my body will literally feel tight.
And another thing that I really love doing too is like co-regulating with people anytime you're in conflict or anytime somebody else is really triggered and you're not.
Yeah.
I feel like if you're not reactive, it kind of helps them calm down.
Yeah.
Or separating yourself from the situation. Like, I feel like I've been in situations where I'm at a party or like a gathering or whatever, and the like, it's just not my vibe, or I feel my energy becoming like a little influenced by the people. I'll just separate myself, or I'll try to like influence the energy a little bit, which I can... That might be my ego coming out, but you know what I'm saying.
No, but that's good that you're able to do that. Yeah. And I feel like the idea of co-regulating has been a newer, it's not a new concept in practice for me, but more so acknowledging that that's an option is something that I've been more recently like applying to my life. Like with Adam, like I specifically, like if I feel unregulated, I have recently realized like I actually can tap into his energy and like I can actually calm myself down that way. Yeah. I've always been, you know, like we're both pretty hyper independent people and have tried, like for me, I try to fix my own energy and fix my own problems just by myself always. Mm-hmm. And it's like a newer concept for me to lean into somebody else's strengths that they have or their potential good energy that they have. Like I've never been like a taker. Like I never want to like use anybody for any reason. Like that's either hyper independence. And that's also because like, I just don't want anyone to ever feel like used by me in that way. And so, but my like work right now, a lot has been realizing that that's okay. It's not selfish to do that, especially with my my person, my partner. Like, he's happy to help regulate me if he's able to do it, you know? So
you guys are really good at that, I feel like.
I feel like that's something we've naturally done, but it's more recently I've tried to be more intentional about going to him and kind of asking for it, looking for it, rather than it just happening. You know what I mean? Like, just being around him, it happens to me, and I'm grateful for that. But it's something I can actually tap into, and I'm like learning to do that more, you know?
Yeah. I feel like something that I really admire about you and Adam is, like, sometimes I feel like when you're really stressed out or whatever, he doesn't react, he doesn't become reactive. He'll like grab you or be like, okay, what do you need?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And he's great like that.
And that's all it takes really with friendships, any relationship, just like even grabbing their leg, grabbing their arm and just being like, I can sense you're becoming, and that instantly makes me, like, anytime someone does that to me, I'm like, ah, you know, like, you're like, oh, thank you. Like, I just needed somebody to do that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't even know, like, or if it's like a hand on the back or something where you're like, hey, you don't need to yell.
Yeah. Well, it's a little, and it's a little even off topic right now, but like, just to kind of go 1 foot deeper into that, I feel like Adam has been able to really honor and respect my more recent following my like gut instinct, my like
intuition.
Like, I feel like I've really been leaning into it in a very different way. Like, I've always listened. I've always like been listening to whatever the voice inside, but like recently it's been, I've been honoring it quicker. Right. And it's been more sudden where it's like, that is actually my intuition. It's not like this voice that I'm just sitting on forever. Intuition is like, it's happening for me specifically. And I've gotten into human design and gotten into all that. So for me, what I know specifically for myself is that it happens instantaneously. Like, it's not one of those,
like, you feel the ping or the download like immediately.
Yes. Like, and that's my intuition speaking at its highest level is whenever it's like in that moment, that ping.
What are you and again?
I'm a projector.
Okay. Okay.
But there's like so many other things within the chart that like defines those sort of things. Like, but for me, like, I know I'm in my like authority or whatever when I'm listening to my intuition. So he's been really good about like when I'm like, it's time to go.
Yeah.
At a party or something. And I'm like, I'm ready to go. And he hasn't, like, we've developed this thing where I'm like, when I'm ready, like, we just go. Like, we just, like, freaking leave. You know what I mean? Like, where it's time. And that's something, and that's, again, that's like a whole, I could divulge into all of that with, because, like, my family, like, we took, like, hours to get anywhere to do anything. Like, I was always feeling like I was being dragged everywhere. So this is, like, one of those things is very healing.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm like, okay, it's time to go, or we shouldn't go do that, or things like that, where I have been told like, oh, Lauren, just stay longer, or Lauren, like, just go out and do this. He isn't like that. Yeah. He trusts me. And he's like, okay, this is how we're going to go. We're going to leave now, or we're not going to go to that thing, or we're whatever. He just trusts it. And it's been really good, like, healing for me and like good for our relationship. It's
Adam's
been
the best.
Yeah, no, he is.
He'd be knowing.
He'd be knowing for sure.
But I want to give some free dating advice for men.
Yes. Give it.
Trust your female's intuition. Like, trust the divine feminine intuition, okay?
Yeah.
Quit trying to fight her. She's right, okay?
Yeah,
I've never met a female or woman identifying person whose intuition was wrong. So I feel like men just need to realize that divine feminine intuition can help them. Like, if you trust her intuition and her gut feelings, it will also help you out.
Your relationship will thrive.
Yes,
for
and
sure.
You will thrive. Like, a lot of the time, yeah. And I feel like a lot of men try to be like, no, whatever.
Or they want it to be like explained.
She's crazy. It's like, no, we're not crazy. We have this power. Like, just trust it. Jesus. Quit trying to fight it.
Just go with it.
Like, talk to any man that has been married for a long time.
You just go with
it. I feel like they just learn.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to trust her feelings. They're always right. I don't know how, but they're always right.
It's true. And it's something I'm learning to trust myself. So it's really helpful that I have a partner that's like willing to trust me even when I'm learning to trust myself.
I mean, we live in a society and a world that has been trying to make women... not that has been trying to make women ignore our intuition and ignore our natural body and become disconnected from our souls. So it's like we've had to learn how to reconnect and relearn how to like
and trust tune ourselves.
In. Yeah.
Yeah, fully. Okay, this is going to be a fun question for you.
Okay.
Okay, so you're into spicy food.
Love.
So what's your favorite spicy dish, first of all? And then how does it connect, like spicy, if you feel like it does connect, how does it connect with your overall approach to well-being?
The first two things that came to mind was sushi.
Okay.
Or...
And you just load up the wasabi?
Yes, I love a shit ton of wasabi in my sushi. I mix it in the soy sauce.
Yes, yes.
I love ginger too. Like anything that's super
potent.
And I think I have a lot of fire in me, like the fire element in me. And I think obviously that just comes from like my culture. But you know, if you study traditional Chinese medicine or Ayurveda, it naturally makes sense that I crave like spiciful, spicy things.
Yeah.
Like turmeric, ginger, warming spices.
Yeah.
But I also have a lot of colds. I don't know. I think it's all about, and because I can feel it whenever I've eaten too many warming foods or spices, like I'll crave frozen fruit randomly.
Yeah.
You know, because I think my internal fire is like,
you got to cool it down a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Like I'll randomly grab like a handful of frozen strawberries.
Yeah.
Just because I'm like, I need something cold in my mouth.
Yeah.
Pronto. The other thing that I thought of was like Mexican food, obviously nachos or like tacos or whatever. My mom makes amazing salsas.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like love that.
Roasted peppers over the grill.
Oof, I love a good salsa. Yeah.
But I mean, spicy food is amazing for your metabolism. It's amazing. It's a natural antiviral. It's a natural antiseptic, like it's so good for anti-inflammatory properties.
You wouldn't think that, like, because people would be like, oh, that's like gonna be, it'll cause inflammation because it's hot, whatever. And it's actually no, it's the opposite though.
Yeah,
like it like calms your inflammation down in your body, which I find so fascinating,
right? And that's why I always say everything is always better a little spicy. Add some spice because that is such an easy way to get more nutrients in your diet.
Yeah, you're getting like herbs and stuff.
And get more micronutrients in your diet. Just like add some more spices, add some more seasonings like turmeric, ginger, garlic, things like that, rosemary, because even black pepper.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people are afraid to play around with spices, but that is such an easy way to support your body and your immune system and your metabolism. Like before you try to spend a bunch of money on supplements, just
Spice up your life. I love that.
You know?
Yeah, no, that's so great.
It's such an easy way.
Yeah. What's your favorite, like, hot sauce?
Sriracha.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
sriracha.
So basic.
Is basic? Well, yeah.
I don't know. Currently, it's sriracha. I mean,
sriracha is so tasty. It just is.
I like truff sauce a lot. Truffle.
Mm-hmm.
The hot one though.
Yeah.
The
I know. One. I know which one you're talking about.
You're like so good.
Well, I had like so many peppers, like hot chili peppers growing around here. And I was like, I wish Samari was around because I would just give them all to her.
My mouth is watering.
Cause I can't do the spice as much. So
comment down below what your favorite hot sauce is.
Literally, yes. I know. Ooh, maybe I'll do that as a question because I can do a question on Spotify. I can put like a question people can answer. So
yes.
But yeah, I'll put that as a question. You guys respond. What is your favorite hot sauce?
If you think you like spicy food more than me.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if anyone could like spice more than you. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Okay. You did mention that you have some things coming up. And so I'd like to have you share like a bit about your upcoming social media courses and how they will empower and like people to grow their online presence.
I mean, I really, really, really want to support people more in how to grow authentically online because I don't think it's hard. I think people think it's hard and therefore it is hard.
Mm.
But I feel like they just need a little bit of guidance and a little bit of coaching. So I really just want to, I can't decide if it's going to be like a course or community or coaching of like how to create viral content, the psychology behind making viral content, and how to actually make content that sells.
Yeah.
Just because I've worked with a lot of brands, a lot of people of influence. So I've just like played around a lot with that and still am learning. And I feel like having the background of being in D2C marketing when it comes to social media, but also from like an individual perspective, I have a lot of eyes on like all aspects of social media, if that makes sense, even like the paid ad side. So I really want to do something with that, like all that knowledge and put it out there in a way that can help other people and other entrepreneurs grow a successful online business and presence. Aside from that, I really want to explore more of my holistic coaching and just how to help people realize how fucking powerful they are. That's what I always say. That's like my main goal in life, is to just help people realize how fucking powerful they are. And, you know, naturally being in the dating world, I started sharing more and more about my dating experiences, different things that I've learned and different powers I've unlocked, and just sharing all of that, which has really resonated with so many women. So I think I would love to maybe write a book or like,
maybe a podcast, maybe.
I think I'm still just like,
you're chewing on it.
Feel it out. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Totally.
I'm a generator. So I'd like, I can't physically do something that doesn't feel good to me and exciting. So we'll see what that modality is or like what the thing is. But I definitely want to do something with all of that. But yeah, I mean,
it's in the works.
It's in the works. I'm still just trying to think about all of that. I mean, you know, I'm still, I have so many social media, like with my clients, my full-time job, and then just like my own personal content.
You a busy woman.
A lot.
Yeah. Yeah. You have a lot going on.
It's a lot, but we're doing it.
But you'd actually, you brought up dating, the dating stuff. Yeah. So that's something I did kind of want to get into a little bit.
I'm down.
Okay. Okay. So as someone who is like passionate about dating and like the dating coaching, right? Like online, if you go to her TikTok, like she's given all the relationship dating advice.
Yes, which single girlies.
It's so fun. So my question is, how do you incorporate a holistic approach into helping others navigate relationships?
Nervous system regulation is something that I really focus on with my dating advice. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, like never ever giving away your power. And that's something that I had to learn through my own dating experiences, is like going into situations with a mindset of like, all I want from this is a positive experience. What am I going to learn about myself? Rather than going into a dating experience trying to win that person over, or being like, okay, how can I shape shift myself to make them like me?
Yeah.
Like instead of doing that, staying in your authentic power and just seeing it as like, oh, okay, this is going to be just another life experience with another human being that I'm going to connect with, rather than having so many expectations. Like whenever you're first dating somebody, you have to take them off that pedestal. Right. Like, oh my God, they're so hot and amazing and blah, blah, blah. Like, how am I going to make them like me? What am I going to say? No, just try to remind yourself that they're just another human being. Also, in the beginning stages of the dating, people are on their best behavior. So
right.
Like, you don't know the true sides of them. Like, I feel like even in friendships, you know, like you don't really know somebody until what, 2 or 3 years. I mean, we're still learning things about each other. And whenever you fall in love with somebody, you will continue to learn different things about them. But I think staying in your true authenticity and power is huge. Like always making sure you're not changing who you are for somebody else, because that's not a love you want to build a foundation on, you know?
Yeah, agreed. I think like you mentioned the, when they're on their best behavior in the beginning. So for me, if you're getting red flags within the first couple weeks, be done, be done, because that should be the very, like they should basically be flawless at the beginning. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like maybe a something here or there that's like not ideal, but if you're getting a red flag within the first couple weeks, just move on, because I just don't, I feel like it's really only going to go downhill from there.
Yeah.
And like something that, you know, I used to talk about a lot when Adam and I first started dating, getting married, when we got married, was the ease with our relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's the right relationship when there's just ease in it.
Totally. And
you can know, like we always say, like the opposite, like disease is dis-ease.
Yes.
And like your relationship will be diseased 100. If it doesn't, if it's not easy, if it doesn't come with a sense of ease.
Yeah.
And of course, relationships take work. I've said that forever, but like there is a level of ease that should come with your romantic partner relationships that you can't really fabricate.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's so important, and that within the first couple weeks, you're going to know if that ease is there or not. Like some things might be awkward, sure, but you will know in your soul, like in your intuition, 100%. You will know if you and your nervous system are regulated and if you're feeling a sense of ease or if you're not. And if you're not, it's time to rethink things.
Yeah. Tuning into how you feel around somebody is huge.
Yeah.
Like I've noticed that in dating a lot. If somebody is influencing my energy in a negative way, or like I feel uneasy, like definitely paying attention to that is so important. But that's also why like I think my holistic and health side goes into it, because you teach people how to treat you based on how you treat yourself.
So true. Yeah.
You know, so it's like whenever you eat healthy and whenever you prioritize your health and whenever you prioritize your hobbies, the person that you date and attract like is going to be different than if you aren't taking care of yourself, which is something that I always teach my clients or people that I work with is like, go back to focusing on you, queen. Like focus on what do you want to do? Stop thinking about that mediocre man that hasn't texted you back. Like what would you be doing today if you didn't have that person or if they weren't in the back of your mind? Like go about your life. Like make plans, book a Pilates class, go for a walk, like do your thing. Because when you're filling up your own cup, you will no longer need that validation from others and other people. And you will attract people that match you vibrationally.
Totally.
You know?
Well, go to the places where you want your man to be.
Yeah.
Like if you want him to be a yogi, girl, you got to go to a yoga class. If you want him to be a chef, like go to a cooking class. Like, you know what I mean? Wherever you want your man to be, like, you know, your future guy to be like, go to those things. Like if you can't expect someone to be in those things that like, if you're not there yourself, or if you're not at least like approaching those situations, like 100. If you're not like signing up for that stuff, like it's not going to show up for you. You have to first show up to it and the kind of life that you want for it to like show up for you.
I think the biggest realization that I've had in dating is just realizing that the universe is simply mirroring back to you your internal state.
It's just a mirror.
Yes. Yeah. So like even if when I've become triggered or like hurt by somebody that I'm dating or somebody that I'm seeing, it's often because they are showing me something that I still need to work on.
Yeah.
And whenever I made that mental switch, rather than like placing the blame on that person, it was such a huge aha moment, because not only was I able to kind of cut the cord energetically with that other person, but it also gave me compassion for them, you know, like even people, you know, I've dated that were not the best. I'll even be like, oh, you know, I still send them so much love and like wish nothing but the best. And you're still like, whatever, screw them. And I'm like, no, because at the end of the day, like they're dealing with their own issues and projecting their own shit onto me and vice versa. Like if anything, I'm just grateful that they were able to play a role in my life experience that was able to help me grow, you know, like, oh, okay, that person triggered a part of me or a part of my inner child that didn't feel loved and seen and valued. And now it's time for me to do the work. Like, thank you, guy, girl, for making me triggered, because now I have work to do.
Yeah.
Peace and blessings. I think the hard part people have is like clinging on to that. Like that's where trauma bonds come, you know, where people like cling on to that. And then they're like, no, I need you to make me feel safe. Make me feel safe and loved and seen. It's like, no, instead of like reaching for that from somebody else, find it within yourself. Because whenever you do and you find power within yourself, you become unstoppable. And the type of people you attract will be next level. Like whenever I unlocked that, the type of men I've been attracting is like
next level.
oh my God, men flying me out and stuff. Like, what?
I know, for real.
You know, like, think about the men I was dating.
Queen treatment.
Think about the men I was dating 2 years ago compared to now.
Yeah, she's leveled up, ladies
Insane.
And gents. She has
Insane.
Leveled
and
up.
And that's because I've done the work, yeah. You know?
You know what you deserve.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're showing up that
you
way.
You believe in yourself. And that's that's really all it is. The more you believe in yourself and the more you value yourself and the less validation you need from others.
No,
it all just naturally falls into place. You release the grip on life and life just flourishes.
Love that. Good advice. And you're demisexual. Do you want to explain what that means?
Demisexual. Yeah. I mean, I've always said that's another thing that my mom is always amazing at. Like she always had gay friends growing up and stuff. So growing up, I actually had to learn that being gay was wrong.
So what do you mean?
Like, I guess my mom had really, really close gay friends that were really like,
Mean like once you like were in school, you learned other kids thought it was wrong or something. Not that you actually think it is wrong.
No. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
If that sounded weird.
No.
Yeah. No,
I know what you mean. I just wanted to make sure we clarify.
Yeah. I'd be saying things. So my mom was always like super, they used to say like my brother was going to be gay. Cause he's there's four of us. There's three girls and one boy. And my brother, we used to like dress him up in little girl clothes and stuff when he was a baby. So they were always like, no, your brother's going to be gay if you do, you know, typical shit. But anyway, so again, like my parents always gave us the freedom to like explore sexuality however we wanted to. And although I do date men and have always been like sexually and like attracted to dating men for the most part, like a masculine facing man, I have been attracted to women or other people, other identifying people, because of their energy. And being demisexual is all about like their energy, like being attracted to a human being for who they are.
Yeah.
And I think whenever you become really close, like in touch with your intuition and your energy, sometimes you just meet a human and you're like, I feel some chemistry here and I don't know why, you know? And it's
well,
like,
well, I was going to ask like because you are like, how do you think that like a deeper emotional connection is like, how do you feel like that influences your dating dynamics? Because you being demisexual just means like, it's the energy. You kind of need a friendship relationship with a person to be attracted to them, you know? So like that, how do you feel like that dynamic has like, I don't know, influenced the way that you should, you date in today's world?
I always say you have to fuck my mind before you can fuck my body, because I can't, it's really hard for me to connect with somebody sexually if I'm not stimulated by their intellect and brain and who they are.
Yeah.
Like that makes somebody so attractive to me.
And that was the word I was looking for. If you listen to my solo episode, I was like, what is it? What's the word? And I was looking for demisexual.
That's what it is.
It's like, I'm the same way. Like I have to, you have to fuck my mind before you can fuck my body. I feel the same way. I'm like, but it's like, it's possible for it to be anyone. Like I'm generally, I would say I'm straight, but then there's like,
who knows? Who's to say?
Yeah. And you're single. So like you still have like, who knows?
And now that I'm out in LA, that's been so expansive for me because everybody like sexuality to me is so, it's just silly that we even have to like
have labels.
Say.
Yeah. Like who cares?
I don't know. I guess I'm straight. Maybe not tomorrow though.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like, I might change my mind.
Right. It's
convince
fluid.
Otherwise,
you're like, I'm up for the challenge.
Like, I love making out with girls. I think it's hot. So it's like, don't be afraid to explore that.
Right.
Like, who cares if people are going to judge you for it? Who cares?
I love that.
You know, girls are hot too. But yeah, I think it just is all about that balance in feminine and masculine energy. I feel like too, like you might meet somebody that
totally.
Their gender or like whatever is so irrelevant in my opinion.
That's a good point. Cause I feel like maybe I just had like a thought come to my mind. Yeah. Like maybe there's a general like masculine to feminine ratio that we're attracted to. And that's the main formula of our attraction is like that the ratio. And so that can be in a man or woman or like whoever, you know, but it's like that can, yeah, it can show up in different kinds of bodies.
Or they'll bring you, they'll bring out more of your masculine or feminine.
True.
Side, depending on theirs.
And you how know, you naturally. Feel. In, right. Yeah. Exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
And I like to feel more feminine in relationships, yeah, but I want the partner, I would want my partner to be like very duality.
Yeah.
You know, I like that duality.
Yeah.
I'm like more androgynous.
Well, we all have both of them.
Of course.
Within us.
Yeah.
So it's like having, it's so funny because yeah, like I'm definitely more feminine and like I like to be in my feminine and more in my like I'm more submissive in a relationship, but yeah, in a lot of ways I'm super in my masculine, like I'm super, you
well,
know
it, on- I would say it would take a lot for you to, it would be a lot harder for you to drop into your feminine,
yeah,
because you're so hyper independent, you've been on like on your own for a while.
Yes.
So it would take a very special
for sure
like kind of 100. Masculine energy to allow you to drop into that.
Yes, 1000%. A secure, embodied masculine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally.
Who isn't afraid of the wild feminine too, you know?
Yes, exactly. Like they're going to want you howling
our
at the
moon. Our wild feminine is unleashed.
Yes. Yeah, which it is. We fun. Howl at the moon. We do like full moon rituals and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Okay, Zam, I got one last question for you.
Okay.
Okay. So you mentioned in the little thing that you filled out before our little our interview, you mentioned that curiosity as the spark of joy. So how do you cultivate curiosity in your daily life? And how does it contribute to living authentically?
I'm always curious of everything that I experience in my day to day. I feel like even just like somebody that I pass on my walk or like the clouds, you know, or like the birds, and just looking at it from a way of like admiration and simply noticing that you are awareness experiencing all of these different things and humans and people, and looking at even dating experiences, for example, or like jobs that I've had. When I look back at different jobs that I've had or different dating experiences, you realize that they all shape who you are and they all taught you something, even if they were terrible. It's like, no, they weren't terrible. You just labeled them as that or whatever. But yeah, I try to just keep a curious mindset in every interaction that I have. And I think that's why you and I just click too, because it's like, we kind of have that in common of like remaining open, even in a world that tries to close us, or like even when we experience things that try to close us. It's like when you're experiencing something that is difficult or negative, it's just don't.
Those quotation marks.
I just
running.
Hate using that.
No,
you
but
know what
I
I'm
know.
Saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Just
difficult.
See it. Yeah. See it as an experience and stay curious. Like, what is this trying to teach me about myself? Or how is this going to further help my evolution or my journey? Because that's all it is.
Right.
If life was, you know, all happy and rainbows all the time, even though I believe it is, it's not, you know, like I still go through things, but it's like, it's all about your perspective on change and your perspective on this life experience. And I think staying curious is key, really, you know, just constantly asking yourself questions and taking inventory of the things you're experiencing and just being like, okay, that's interesting. Even when I have a thought nowadays, like I'll just be like, whoa, that's interesting that I'm having that thought.
Right.
You know, like I've even started having that internal dialogue. Like anytime I'll have even like a spiral of thoughts, I'm like, why am I, what triggered this? Because sometimes they come out of nowhere and you're like, that's interesting. And you can just observe them and being like the person, your awareness observing the thoughts you're having is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a way to stay curious every single day.
Absolutely.
And it also just helps me stay in that joyful, heart open space. Rather than like closing down or shutting down or making yourself the victim of your life experience. It's like, no, even if you, and you know, I think, again, back to my mom, like, my mom had a fucking hard life, but she never made herself the victim.
Yeah.
But I think that's also what makes me sometimes not the most empathetic or, like, sensitive person. Like, I feel like I hurt people's feelings sometimes because I can disassociate or kind of, like,
yeah,
I'm like, oh, whatever, like, let's move on. And people are like, slow down.
Like, I need to experience it first.
Which I've gotten better.
Yeah.
You've helped me a lot. At being like, Maria, you're giving me whiplash.
Be in this moment, just real quick.
Yeah. Which is important. Like, don't ignore your feelings and thoughts and what you're experiencing, but also don't.
Because they're telling you something too. You know, like, staying curious about it. Like, your thoughts and your emotions are letting you in on something. Yeah. Shutting those down is only going to, that will also make you sick.
Yes.
You have to, you can't suppress it. But I think recognizing it and being, like you were saying, like, the observer of those emotions, like, once you can, like, have those experiences, have those emotions, go through what you need to go through. And then whenever you're able, be able to, like, kind of look on it, like, you kind of sit back and you look on it and you're able to get curious about yourself and how, like, where it came from and how you can best, you know, be the best version of yourself. Like,
and that's
forward.
What makes me so grateful for, like, you and Adam, because I feel like sometimes you do just need community or people you trust to, like, word vomit on, and then they can, like, fully see you, and then they can kind of support you in that, or, you know, a therapist or meditation. It just helps you come back to your center.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Well, I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for being in Curious City with me.
We could keep going.
We could go on forever. I'm sure there will be a part two at some point. So
yeah,
if you guys love it, make sure you let us know. Obviously, I'll put all of Zamaria's, like, her links and everything in the podcast episode description. Go follow her if you haven't, on TikTok, on Instagram, all the things. She's so great. Always giving the tips.
Please be my friend.
Be her friend. So thank you guys so much for listening. We love you guys. And until next time. Bye.